When I was on staff at Plymouth UCC in Milwaukee, an angel named Natasha dropped in on the Board of Deacons meeting one night. This angel took the form of a slight, quiet, older woman with a limp and a cane who had nowhere to spend the night. She first encountered one of the deacons on the sidewalk, asked her for help, and that deacon brought her into the meeting, thinking that her colleagues would be able to help, that they would know what to do. At Plymouth, the Board of Deacons is kind of a melding of what we here at Union call our in-reach and worship ministries. The deacon brought the homeless woman into the meeting, but no one knew what to do. Much like our church here at Union, Plymouth prides itself on being a church that lives the gospel, that believes in justice, that wants to do right by the poor. But these eight deeply faithful church leaders hit a hiccup when Natasha came to them with her need. One of the deacons pulled out a smartphone and started calling shelters, dialed, but no luck. Dialed again, still no luck. Dialed yet again, and still no luck. Natasha mentioned that she knew of a rooming house that where she could spend the night for, actually the week, for $28. And the deacons pooled what little cash they had, and one of them drove her there. The rest sat and prayed and discussed. They talked about wanting to be people who know what to do when such a profound need walks into the room. Natasha was an angel, bringing transformation to that church's little glass conference room, making it a Bethel, just like in Jacob's experience. The deacons had an experience of Jacob's ladder, of heaven meeting earth, and a messenger as the conduit. Natasha helping them to put flesh on their ideals, giving them a hunger, making their love tangible. The deacons were all very faithful people, very active both in the church and in the world, and yet their awkwardness when faced with Natasha's need showed a lack of fulfillment. It showed a space where growth could happen, a space where the Holy Spirit was able to get in. Jacob is in a similar place in the reading that I just offered today from Genesis. Of course, as you probably know, if are sick of me saying, the first thing we need, though, in order to understand this, is context. If you're not familiar with the Jacob story, you may not remember that he is the second of a set of twins, and he and his brother Esau have had a contentious relationship from day one. In fact, just before this passage, we're told that Jacob has actually stolen the birthright from his brother Esau, stole the birthright, and then in an effort of conniving, gets their father Isaac to bless him in that birthright. But as wrong as it sounds to steal the birthright and connive to get a blessing, isn't Jacob really just kind of living up to his name? His name means one who is behind. His name means the second. the supplanter. He's living up to his name. Now, Esau and Isaac are furious with him, and Rebekah, his mother, gets him out of town by sending him off to try to find a wife amongst his uncle's kids. It's a mixed up, sad soap opera of a story. And that's where we meet Jacob, our hero, our patriarch. Now, despite having the birthright, despite having Isaac's blessing, Jacob was still yearning. He was still unfulfilled. He had the word. He had the credentials. But he still knew they were stolen. He knew himself to be a fraud. How often does that happen to us? We've grasped for something in work, in relationships, in school, in life. But we know in our hearts that it's just smoke and mirrors, that there's not a whole lot backing it up. Then Jacob, having run away from his irate family, alone, deep in the wilderness, still having that emptiness inside, has this dream. A dream that has such a profound impact on him that he wakes up and for the first time is truly confident that God is real and loves him and blesses him. And then God legitimates Jacob's possession of the birthright. God blesses Jacob as the inheritor of the covenant and tells Jacob that his offspring will be as numerous as the flecks of dust on the ground. Abraham had been told that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars. There's even more dust in the ground than there are stars in the sky. Jacob is not just affirmed, he is multiplied in his blessing. What I'd like you to take away from this is that God knew who Jacob was on the inside. God knew Jacob's flaws and his personality disorders, his strengths, his weaknesses, his fears, his doubts, his worries. God knew all of that. And out of all of the characters that God could have chosen to work through, God chose to work through Jacob, through flawed Jacob. That is why this is such a sacred story, because so many times when we look at our lives, we see the Jacob in ourselves, the unfulfilled, the yearning, the not quite secure, the scared, the controller. Often when we aren't living our best selves, we think that we are somehow failing God, that we've disappointed God, that we could have done better, that we should have been stronger. And while that may be true, there's a deeper, more godly truth. Before you heard God speak in your life, God knew all of you. Knew all of who you are. God knew the Jacob parts. And God loved you anyway. God continues to love you and bless you anyway. And God's plan will work through you anyway. Jacob spent so much of his life trying to be someone, be something. And it was when he finally just lay down with no defenses, no pretense, no agenda, no plan, that he encountered God and realized that the blessing was his and that God considered him a blessing. Friends, when we keep grasping at credentials, the trappings, the social capital, we waste valuable time and energy that we could be using to be a blessing. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you probably 2,000 more times. You are no secret to God. God created you in God's image and likeness. God knows everything about you, your strengths and your flaws. And guess what, Jacob? God loves you wholly and completely. And God still uses each of us and embraces every part of us to bring about blessing. So, what does this have to do with Natasha and the Deacons? Which, on a side note, I think would be a really great band name. Natasha and the Deacons. Some of the deacons had a Jacob's Ladder experience because their faith finally became tangible to them, finally had flesh. They were able to say that hospitality to the stranger wasn't just something that they believed in, it was something they did. God settled down, and in the midst of that conference room, said, I have commissioned you to be a blessing. Now get to work. And it created a hunger among them, a hunger to not just believe in being a blessing, but a hunger to be a blessing. They worked to figure out how their church could be a people who make a difference in the lives of the Natashas in the world, how they could make sure that the transformation that happened in their little meeting would spread to the rest of the congregation and would continue to transform both their lives and the rest of the community. They wanted to make sure that it wasn't just skin deep, that it wouldn't fade. It reminds me of a story that I've told before from the pulpit, a story of how there was a homeless person who used to hang out outside the front doors of the grocery store that was just down the street from my seminary. He would stand there and very gently, very quietly walk up to people and say, I'm a saint. You should give me $5. Most of the people who heard him would just walk on past. Yeah, right. But I always wondered, what if he is? What if he is a saint? Part of making sure that the deacon's transformation actually took root, part of making their transformation and Jacob's transformation our own, is looking at everyone as if they are saints. Particularly those who are in need, those who are broken, those who are lost and lonely and afraid. Looking at all as if they are saints, angels, divine messengers sent to give you a chance to live your faith, your ideals. The great social activist of the 20th century, Dorothy Day, is said to have approached every single person who walked up to her door as if they were angels, based on that Hebrews passage that we need to treat everyone as if they're angels, lest we be everyone as if they're Christ, excuse me, lest we be caught entertaining angels unaware. Jacob had known his God before, but it was at Bethel, through this dream, that he came to know his God. The deacons knew their ideals, but Natasha gave them a powerful experience of knowing their ideals. Our lesson here is that we are being stretched to more fully embody our faith, that we are being stretched to allow our faith to move from our head through our hearts and into our very being, that we are being stretched to put flesh on God's love, that we're being stretched to come to peace with our Jacob parts so that our lives may be a blessing. Because the more you do, the more you'll find that Jacob's ladder, that stairway between heaven and earth, is right here within reach. And that everywhere we are, everywhere is a Bethel, a holy place, a stairway between earth and heaven. May it be so.